science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Think Works, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, as one of many episodes, and we'll explain more about that later, we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. And in the studio today, I've got my old muckeye, Mr. Stephen Law, the professor himself. Hello.
Hello, Darren. Hello, everyone.
So when we first started talking about this, which was ages ago, we were talking about conspiracy theories, and we said, oh, there's a fascinating subject there. Little did we know it would grow into this monster. So we started making notes. We looked at why conspiracy theories are. And then we kind of thought, well, what are our favourite conspiracy theories that make us laugh and giggle? And then it grew.
Into a monster. An absolute monster now, yeah. I think we're probably going to have at least four, maybe even five episodes on this.
Yeah. I think you're right. So what we've done, chaps and chapesses, is we've broken it down into looking at why conspiracy theories are and what their effect is and how to try and spot one, if it's a theory rather than a fact. And then we're going to talk about individual conspiracy theories in future episodes.
Yeah. I think that the first section of this, which was news to me and it was really interesting, is the psychology behind it.
So we
are going to touch upon, you know, conspiracy theories in later episodes, but this first one is going to be about why do people believe in them?
Yeah.
How do they develop? How do they evolve?
There are entire books written about conspiracy theories, individual ones, but very few of them actually look at why people need to feel that a theory is their reality, becomes their reality. So we thought it'd be a fascinating take to start our series on conspiracy theories, looking at why that happens.
I think at first as well, for me, from the psychology part of it, is I was a bit sceptical, I'll be honest with that. But having done a little bit of research, I mean, it's not bunkum, it's based on solid facts. I mean, I picked one example here in the US. They did a study over 10 years, over 150,000 participants, right? And there's key traits and behaviour that makes a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
I found that fascinating, so we'll touch on that as well.
Yeah, sounds good. So let's look at this psychological need then, why people need to believe in a or even a number of conspiracies and different conspiracies. And I think it comes down to the key one that we looked at was really this need to feel like they're in control.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got something that makes your life feel out of kilter, if you've got something going on that's either in your country or even in the world with wars or whatever, you can feel out of control. And sometimes feeling that you can justify your behaviour because this is what's being done to you, then that,
correct,
I think, feeds into that.
I think the fact you can assign some blame to somebody or an organisation, think, you know, it puts things in perspective for them,
and
how they're thinking. And it's so like they can uncover hidden truths as well, and that makes them feel better, whether it's based on fact or fiction.
Yeah,
it does play that part. So that I like the idea that I'm in control of this. I know what's going on now.
Yeah.
There's nothing unknown out there to me.
Yeah. You create that. You, in a world where you're not in control, you can create a framework that puts you back in control because you're saying, this isn't my doing. It's been done to me by shadowy forces or lizard people or aliens from another world.
I think it makes their life a little bit more manageable.
It does.
Unpredictable.
It does.
Because nobody likes the unknowns. As a human race, we're always asking the question, why? It's a quest for knowledge. And when you go and get the right answer to that question, it gives you that lack of control and also the uncertainty as well.
Yeah, and all that starts to feed into anxiety and the whole other issue, which we'll talk about in a minute. But just going back to the control side, the illusion of control in itself becomes really comforting in times of confusion and chaos. I mean, we saw that with COVID, we saw that with 9/11 and the dangers that that pushed the world into. And then currently we've got the war in Ukraine, which is feeding into that sense of confusion and anxiety about what might happen in terms of all-out war. I mean, the Ukrainians are the ones in the war at the moment, but there's this fear that maybe we could get dragged into it in a greater extent than we already have. So everything feels out of normal, the man in the street, the woman in the street's control at the moment. It's everything is being spoken at us and done at us, and where is our sense of control in that? And sometimes conspiracy theories can lend themselves to giving you that answer, even if the answer is fictitious.
I think also they've got this perception that they know something you don't know.
Yes.
Right, so it's a, I've got a secret kind of thing. And I think it gives them a little sense of superiority over the other person.
Yeah.
You know, I know something you don't know kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's interesting as well, because it kind of feeds into that idea of a secret club as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our tribe, our little tribe of
believes.
And if you remember our podcast we did on football and tribalism, that need to belong.
Sense of belonging.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And you've got like-minded people as well, and therefore that then fosters more thoughts processes around other conspiracies.
Yeah, creating that echo chamber
that
reinforces the whole idea that, look, I've got this secret, we know what's really going on, and then we talk amongst ourselves all the time reaffirming that what we're saying is correct, and then when we are faced with people such as us, skeptics, then we're wrong because we're not listening to the evidence.
But I think echo chambers, and we maybe want to explain
that
to the listeners, I think it's a scary thing. It's very dangerous as well, because only thing you're doing in that echo chamber is looking for that confirmation of your views.
Yes.
You're not opening yourself up to other ideas, other perspectives, so you become a little bit isolated.
Yes.
Just you and that group having the same thought processes, which I think can be very dangerous.
And that leads into cults, because people who believe in conspiracy theories don't necessarily think it's a cult, and in certain parameters of the definition of a cult, it's not. But that's how cults operate. They cut you off from outside influences, reinforcing their own message all the time. Mm-hmm. And an echo chamber does that. It's a virtual, it creates that virtual cut off from real world.
Exactly.
And other perspectives, as you say. Now, we don't want to laugh at people that believe in conspiracy theories, because we know that there are reasons for it, but what we're trying to present here, I think, is why so many people do believe in different conspiracy theories. So we've talked about control. Is there anything else you want to add on that side?
I think later on we're going to discuss about how we can probably identify what may or may not be conspiracy, what may be false information. And I'm not sat here saying there is no conspiracies out there.
Yeah.
There's some conspiracies that I've got good evidence and facts to say, yes, there's something going wrong here.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be very open-minded, and we'll go into the details of how to try and avoid falling into the trap of, yes, this is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But be very open-minded of what's out there.
Yeah. So we talked about the control side, and leading, I think, naturally from that is the need that we have to explain things, that we have to have a rationale that various things have happened. And we're going to talk more about the 9/11 attacks in a future episode, but just very quickly to say there are the conspiracies about that are because I think there's a certain amount of resistance to the idea that America could be attacked on home soil, and that really, that strong set of belief that America is that global power, and yet suddenly it was vulnerable. A lot of people couldn't accept that, and that's why conspiracy theories grew with such strength.
I agree, and I think a lot of conspiracy theorists, they're more about event-based stuff.
Yeah.
So 9/11 is an event,
okay?
And the government, they believe, has been involved in it. But it's not a general, or the government wants to do bad to us, either general conspiracy. Yeah. They are very event-based.
Yeah, so it gives an intentionality to a specific event.
Exactly. But the thing is, I mean, you and I, Darren, I mean, we all want explanation for everything. It's a human race, intelligent race. We want to understand, we want to explain, well, why did that happen, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And I think conspirators, one of a better word,
yeah.
Take it to the next level. And yeah. they go looking for, not necessarily the truth, but looking for reasons to believe in that's a conspiracy.
And often the conspiracy theory is the simplest reason behind an event. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to follow, it's easier to believe, because we have this need to make things simple to follow.
Correct. Correct. And when there is a conspiracy out there, it's a lot harder to prove that it did not occur
yeah.
than it is to have to prove it did occur. So the only thing they have to say will be, oh, there's been a conspiracy to do X.
Yeah. So that evidence isn't real.
That's there. That's yeah. there, isn't it? So and you've got to try and prove, well, wait a minute, you know, you've got to go to all the hard work to yeah. prove that actually no, that did exist or it did not exist.
Correct. Case, I think that's right.
And I think related to that as well is there's a famous saying, I think Lenin actually said, you know, you tell a lie 1,000 times, it becomes the truth.
Yes.
And therefore, if you continue to spread these conspiracies through all different kinds of media, eventually people will start believing it.
Yeah, and that, I mean, we'll later on in this episode, we'll talk about how social media is playing a big part
in
that.
I'd like to hear.
Yeah. So I think that's right. If you hear no pages turning, folks, it's literally because there's a lot for us to get through, and we haven't got a script per se, but we do need to keep looking at the headings just to make sure we don't divert too far off path.
There's some very intelligent people out there who believe in these conspiracies, but going back to that study that was done over a 10-year period, yeah. tens of thousands of people, this is a bit generic, but most of the people who believe in the conspiracies usually were quite paranoid,
yeah.
Insecure, can be very impulsive and certainly very suspicious.
Yeah.
So they tend to go towards, oh, that's got to be a conspiracy, because yeah. that's how they are built. That's their behaviour.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is that breakdown doesn't necessarily mean uneducated versus educated, because you can have some very, very educated people who still will believe in a specific conspiracy. So we've talked about control and the need for a simple explanation. So leading from those two is this whole idea of having the need to feel confirmation of our biasness. We don't accept that we are biased, but we will go looking for information that supports our belief. So it confirms our belief rather than looking for evidence that may contradict that belief. None of us like to be wrong. It's just human nature. So we're always on the lookout. We activate that part of the brain that looks for bits and pieces of evidence or other people that have got like-minded views that come back and support our initial biasness.
And the thing is, if you're going into that thought process with some preconceived ideas and thoughts, you're less likely to go, oh, wait a minute, let me just check the evidence here. You can automatically say, oh, okay, it must be conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because that's how your brain is working. And I think it gives them a sense of validation as well.
Yeah.
You know, without having to prove anything.
Yeah.
Which is unfair.
Yeah. So XYZ believes what I'm saying, so therefore it must be true.
Yeah, now I've read that on a newspaper somewhere, yeah. or my mate told me down the pub. Yeah, yeah, it's got to be true.
Yeah. And that, even that, there was a famous, again, going back to the 9/11 thing, which we're going to talk about in more detail in a future episode, there was a report that Israelis were behind some of the attacks. Right?
The Jewish elite,
yes.
they were called, yeah.
And there was one of the papers, newspapers, reported that there'd been a article in a London paper, and they mentioned the paper and the date and everything. There was never no such article. But everyone then started quoting the quotation that this quote was supposed to have been from. And it just snowballs when you have that biasness that is trying to say, this has happened for a reason, and the reason is what I believe it to be. And it comes from that. It's just scary, really, how some things can snowball. So all that leads to this growing fear and anxiety about real-world events and what's happening, and why am I being affected? Why have I lost my job? Why am I struggling to pay my bills? Why is my health suddenly taking a dive? And it becomes that need to find a reason that doesn't necessarily mean that you are the one that's responsible for that.
Correct. But it also gives them a sense of security as well.
Yeah.
Even though I might be attributing that to something that may be malicious, it's making them come back to how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Not the others. I also think that, and this is most my view, is that, I'm not saying they prey on the people, but if you've got somebody who's like a bit weak, maybe they'll coerce you into believing what they want you to believe, and then again, you then need to become an actual conspiracy theorist as well.
Because
the fear and anxiety.
Yeah, so, and that leads back into that whole idea of having social proof, because you can say, well, look, I've spoken to Mike about this, and Mike agrees with me, right? And then, because they're both speaking to Ed. And Ed's like, oh, really? So that's two of my friends believe this. Maybe it's true.
Exactly.
And that's how it goes. Mm. Right. And all that, what we've just spoken about, leads back into this idea of social identity about needing to belong.
Belong, yeah.
And okay. I think it just reinforces within that, I'm not weird because all these other people believe the same thing that I believe.
And I think it helps reinforce that individual's commitment to the belief in the first place.
Yes.
Because he's got other people who are like, actually, you're right there. And he, yeah.
It reinforces that correct. Mental yeah. strength that they are right in their beliefs.
But then they become very closed groups in a way then. And if you don't believe in the conspiracy, you can't be part of their gang.
Yeah. And that leads to the conflicts that we've seen mm-hmm. In Western societies in particular. In America and Britain, when we had the whole Trump claiming that the presidency had been stolen from him, that the voting was rigged, and that is still going on today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never known America to be so divided.
Yeah.
And neither side is willing to give any kind of credence to the other one. And that's a dangerous place for any country to be in.
There's no concrete evidence either way, is
no.
there? No. That's the problem. They're just like, there's opinions and it's yeah. a conspiracy, obviously.
Yeah. Trump said it, so it must be true.
Exactly, yeah.
It's that kind of a belief. And in this country, I guess you could go back to the Brexit debate where we had the whole idea of that the EU was stealing money which could go to the NHS
yeah.
which yeah. turned out not to be true, but... The fact is, you've still got Brexit people that want to pursue that angle and say, look, we just need to make it work better. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people saying, no, we need to go back into the EU because obviously it's all been proved wrong. It hasn't all been proved wrong. It just hasn't been implemented in the way that everyone thought it was going to be.
But that's just politics.
It though, is.
Isn't it? You know, we all make promises we can't keep.
Yeah, exactly. And we all have to remember that.
Yeah.
But it does reinforce that. And that leads to that, the idea that you can be cognitively dissident from popular views or from right-minded views, if you want to call them that, because you are constantly being reinforced inside your echo chamber that what you believe is right, and the more people try to tell you that that's not correct, the more you resist that because you are convinced that these people themselves have fallen part of the victims of a conspiracy.
Exactly. So even when there's evidence to the contrary, actually they will still believe in that conspiracy. And I want to give an example of how this would work in a brain. I'll give an example. For instance, I'll use drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy for you. I drink too much anyway. Yeah. Okay. But I still do it. And then I try and rationale my reasoning for doing it.
Yes.
Knowing that it's actually probably not the right thing to do. And I think that's sometimes how a conspiracy theorist would think.
Yeah.
They've seen some evidence. They go, but I don't believe that. I'm going to keep believing in this.
Because this makes me feel comfortable.
Exactly. Exactly.
With myself. And that's the thing that cognitive dissonance comes from, that because you are consciously choosing not to believe in other evidence.
You don't believe the truth.
Yeah.
And then it actually stops you doing any kind of critical thinking. You don't become open-minded, you know, to other ideas.
Yeah, agreed. So we've talked about some of the reasons why conspiracy theories might be. Let's talk about the impact that conspiracy theories can and have had on wider societal and governmental issues and just life in general. Now, we've already touched upon a lot of that, obviously, with the confirmational biasness and the fear and anxiety and all that builds mistrust about even just general authority. So if you are mistrustful that a part of government has lied to you or done something to you, that suddenly becomes all government.
Correct. Yeah. And whether it's true or not, if you've got this deep-seated mistrust for a particular government, then whatever goes on, you're going to say,
it's because it's that government.
They must be dodgy because they're doing something here, because you don't trust them.
Yeah.
I think that also, going back to one of the examples of COVID-19, there's lots of misinformation put out there. I've none of it ever proven, but then there became a mistrust then of the NHS.
Yeah.
You know, and people were reluctant to have any vaccinations.
Any vaccinations.
Then. And that put even more strain on the NHS. Yeah. And I think it also did cost lives. Once you've got that mistrust of a person or an organisation, it's very, very hard to get that back.
It is.
And you're gonna believe anything that anybody tells you about that organisation.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
And it does become that general mistrust about any authority at all. And then that can have further impact on an individual, because it can also strain relationships between them and their friends and even family members, where it might be that someone in your family has a completely different belief. Your wife believes something completely different, or mother and father do, and suddenly you're at odds with them because you are convinced that you're right, and because you have embraced all these different aspects within a theory, and you've got your echo chamber reinforcing that, it becomes really difficult for some units then to stay together.
And I also think, obviously, you have communication issues, you can lead to misunderstandings, and I think it works both ways. Because the person who believes in conspiracies, somebody who doesn't may think that that person's being gullible, and therefore you're going to have a lot more misunderstandings, a lot more conflicts. I think the person who believes in the conspiracy can become a little bit isolated, become resentful of the people who do not believe in what they're believing in. And I think they then withdraw themselves a little bit more from a social society.
Yes, absolutely. And that isolation then feeds into that paranoia. Because if you're isolated, you start to feel that everyone is against you.
And then go back to the echo chambers.
Yeah.
You'll go seeking out like-minded people and push maybe family members and friends to one side who don't believe it.
And because we all feel that need to be part of something. So if we are falling out with our family and friends because of what we believe, we need to surround ourselves with a tribe of people that do believe.
And then it just perpetuates itself. Yeah. And when you start withdrawing from society, you start to trust people even less. You think everybody's got it in for you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's trying to do some harm to you.
And that leads to that polarisation as well, where you've got people who really strongly believe, for example, we've said about the American election, so you've got people who really strongly believe that there was skullduggery going on during the American voting system. And other people that actually firmly believe that those people are stupid for believing that. And neither group want to give ground.
Correct. And it causes social tension as well. I mean, there was riots.
Yeah.
You know, different parties are fighting over this. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. People died from it.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, look at the incident here in the UK when a young teenager was killed, and someone posted it, and it was just a simple post saying it was an illegal immigrant. It was a news item on a news channel that said he was an illegal immigrant who was a Muslim, and that he was already in trouble with authorities. And it turned out none of those three facts were facts, and yet it led to riots here in the UK.
And I'm not going to touch on our social media as a role to play, good and bad, in conspiracies. But yeah, I mean, there's another example as well recently. The firearms officer who shot the chap in London, right? And what went on social media was the usual thing, the Met are against ethnic people.
Yeah.
This innocent, well-mannered young gentleman has been shot down in cold blood. It's now transpired, that he actually was a gang member, and a week before he'd shot somebody in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Okay. But they tried up the media had tried to obviously stop that coming out until the judge said no, this has to get released. So that all the issues that police officer went through, when he was doing his job, was it completely
ignored.
Trust,
and again, it comes down to that trust of any kind of agency that has any kind of authority. And if you get, I mean, in this country, policing is by consent. So our police are there by the public's consent. And the moment that that trust gets so eroded that there's no longer any respect for that police force, you've got real trouble.
Mm-hmm. Which is, that over the years, that's where we are now.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not being... I mean, I used to work with the police, and I have to say, some of the stuff that they go through, you wouldn't wish it on anyone. And people forget that.
But because that doesn't get actually reported, does
no.
it?
No.
It doesn't get reported.
No.
And then, what's the word that they're saying, you know, perception becomes reality?
Yeah.
And that's what it's become.
Yeah. A few bad apples have ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, I'm not saying everything's perfect, yeah. obviously. Yeah.
And that, again, that comes down to that spread of misinformation that happens as well, where an idea is taken, steamrolled out, people latch onto it because they're already looking for reasons for events that have happened, and suddenly generalizations take over, and we don't believe what we're being told. I mean, I think there was a study in America that came out earlier this year, and it said that 72% of people in America no longer believe anything the media tells them.
I tend to agree in that. certainly in the UK. Or is it just the BBC?
No.
I'm being biased there.
Well, on the flip side, you've got the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
I mean, let's...
I'm just starting a conspiracy there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's impossible for any media outlet not to reflect the beliefs and the biasness of the people who are in control of that media outlet.
But I think a lot of it as well, it comes down to the reporters' opinions as well. They're not always dealing with the facts and the evidence.
No, okay. It's an opinion piece.
There's a bias.
Yeah.
They've already touched on it.
Yeah, and it's funny because we used to have, I don't know if you remember, but in newspapers we used to have the news and then an editorial. And the editorial will give their view of the news. Mm-hmm. And that was always a distinct part. And we seem to have lost that now. It's almost like every headline is an opinion,
or a conspiracy.
Yeah, and it's not an actual... In fact, often you read the piece and it's got nothing to do with the headline. The headline is just a hook to get you to pick up the paper.
I don't read paper or watch the news. I just don't believe. That's my own belief. Yeah, that's me. I'm not saying they're out to get me. I just don't believe it. I like to deal in facts, so I'll go research things if I need to understand something.
I'm the same. I mean, I took a conscious decision to stop watching the news and reading newspapers about 6 months ago. My mental health is just so much better since I did that, because it's just unending bad news that isn't necessarily a real reflection of life.
It's information overflow as well.
Yeah,
it's how much you're going to take on board. And we digressed a little bit, but I don't believe them. I would form my own opinions and base it on facts.
Yeah, I think you're right. And within that, you can get lots of different views by doing your own research. That's right. The danger, of course, of us doing that is in terms of turning away from news outlets, so-called news outlets, is that we can often fall into the social media trap, which is someone's just posted this video of this so-called attack in the shop, and it turns out it was just staged actors in the first place, but suddenly everyone believes it's real. And that social media, to me, is... Social media, if it's used correctly, has huge benefits. It can help isolated people. It can help you spread ideas, you know, positive ideas. It can help you find people that have got the same interests as you, as hobbies, for example. And it's great for that. But there's a flip side.
There's a flip side, and people are probably not using it like it was originally intended to be used.
No.
And it has just morphed as well into something that I think is uncontrollable at the moment.
Yeah.
You can't disinvent things.
No.
You could probably switch them off, and that's about it. But on that flip side, it's going to amplify whatever conspiracies are out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you stop that actually occurring. People look for more sensational things. Oh, wow, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Without understanding what's behind the actual statement being made.
It's even more insidious than that, because, of course, the social media companies all rely on advertising revenue. And so their algorithms specifically are designed to pick up on controversial and or sensationalist pieces of news, in inverted commas, that someone will post, and that post then gets really kind of pushed to everyone. So once it gets a few hits, suddenly it mushrooms because the algorithm's saying, this is a really popular post, we can make lots of advertising revenue off this post.
Exactly. And like if you search for something on the web, it picks that up and it'll bombard you then with advertisements. And even to the point, this is probably my conspiracy here, I could be speaking to my partner about going on a holiday to Greece. I get on my phone, right? First pay comes up, holidays on Greece.
These smart devices are definitely not just sat there passively waiting for our command.
They're collecting data. That's my conspiracy.
And I think it's a real one because it is too much of a coincidence. It happens almost every time that you can be having a conversation about, as you say, a holiday, or it's like I was talking about the other day, something about some kind of controller for one of the games consoles that I've got, and then suddenly all the adverts on my Facebook feed were for controllers and consoles. And it's just like, hang on a minute, I wasn't even looking at that point, I was talking about it. And then suddenly all the adverts are there on my smartphone. So there is definitely, I think, something going on there. Maybe that's something we can come back and have a real good session on.
I would like that.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
But I think also that targeting advertisements and messages also relates to the conspiracy. Because if you go looking for a conspiracy, eventually that algorithm is all it's going to show you.
It's all it's going to show you.
It's not going to show you alternatives. It's going to say, you've looked for that, I'll show you some more about it.
Yeah, because I want to push these posts that are already controversial and getting lots of hits. So not only are the platforms themselves getting advertising revenue from those posts that it's pushing, a lot of the so-called celebrities of conspiracy theories that are really out there pushing all the time, a lot of their platforms are based on advertising revenue as well. And the more hits they get, and the more direct hits they get to their website, where they're also selling merchandise or sign up and subscribe to my podcast, etc., etc., all that then starts to lead into and feed into this real echo chamber of just people that need to believe in something because they feel that they can't believe in anything else.
But the thing is, one of the things we might talk about later as well is, how do you stop this kind of thing? Because I always think, right, what's driving the behaviour, or is there a hidden agenda there? And that will start making me question why. Which we went a bit back to early. Why are we doing this? What are you going to get out of it? How is it going to affect me?
So we've talked about the polarisation, the disbelief then in what we're being told by any agency of authority, disbelief in media people. I think the other thing it actually normalises extreme views. So suddenly, if you're getting a feed on social media that is pushing a particularly nasty extreme view, but it's all the time, it's like you said about the Lenin, you tell a lie 1,000 times, it becomes the truth. If you're getting literally hundreds of these posts hitting you on a daily basis, then that becomes your worldview. Because it's, well, I'm not seeing any other news that's any contradictory to this, so this must be what's happening everywhere. And it's a real, I think there's a real danger in that, where we do become just increasingly these different echo chambers of different entrenched, firmly held views.
But I think what a lot of social media companies do as well, we've heard the thing bots. They'll drop bots into their platforms, which will send these messages out. There's nobody attached to them. Nobody's written those. They've just been generated by the social media companies to further whatever they're trying to push forward.
Or agents as well. So agents of other countries. I mean, it's widely held that Russia, for example, has got a load of teams that just drop bots into undermine Western democracies.
But there's no accountability for that, is it? Well, you can create any name you want online, you know, so like trolls, for instance, you know. Okay, who's behind them? There's no name, there's no actual details, no data, and they can just spread whatever messages they want.
Yeah, agreed. It's a dangerous world that we're entering in.
It is.
And I think the point I was trying to get to with the fact that you've got all these competing echo chambers, it becomes that polarisation gets stronger and wider.
And then you start sowing more discord. within society itself.
And the moment you start normalising extreme views, the easier it becomes for radical views to be accepted as being the most common view, if that makes sense. So once it becomes so entrenched that we've normalised extreme views, therefore this radical view has got to be the real one.
So if that individual has been exposed to a constant stream of conspiracy content, they become desensitised to it. And then for they're more likely to go towards more of an extreme thought and fringe beliefs and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then seek out other people like-minded, and you get these a group that can go and attack another group based on they have been told on social media this group might have been up to something, and then later it transpires that they weren't at all.
Exactly, yeah. But then it becomes acceptable then, you know, because you believe that's the case. Without any facts, that's what you believe.
Yeah. And then you get the whole war going on between the different views. I think the problem with social media is because it is so ubiquitous and it is so instant, it becomes so easy for these views to get pushed onto you because the social media companies themselves have got that conflict of interest because we know this is a controversial view, but we're getting a lot of advertising revenue from it.
But also it moves faster than any other kind of actual communication.
Yeah.
So these things are out there, and the next one's out there before you can even try and stop the first one that's gone out, because they're just moving so fast.
The algorithms are pushing them,
and it's so far-reaching as well.
Yeah, agreed. Now we've set this kind of dystopian view of the fact that we're all going to hell in a handcart because we've got all these different. Echo chambers literally almost gearing up for war. It feels like this conflict could bubble over between these different groups at any time, and indeed has done. How do we go about trying to de-escalate, to try to debunk some of the theories that are put out there and some of the so-called opinions that are put out there?
I think for me it's common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a rational person who can deal in the facts and that, you just use common sense and actually validate what you're being told or what you're seeing. Now, if you are a believer in that conspiracy, this probably won't affect you because you're already entrenched in that belief. But for me, it's like making sure that if somebody's saying X, Y, and Z is the truth, right, validate, are they the expert in it? You know, have they got any specialised skills in that area to be able to talk about that?
Because too often we also get within an item like that, Dr. So-and-so of X university has said that da-da-da-da-da, but that person may not actually be a professor at a university, he's just said he is.
Correct, and there's two other professors have said completely different.
Yeah.
So cross-reference those things and validate what you're actually hearing and seeing.
Agreed. And I think what we were talking about earlier about the fact that we go off and we research rather than listen to the news. And I think within that, you need to research lots of different views. Yes, you will come to your own opinion at the end of the day, but you have to have that open mind initially that says, right, I'm going to read X, Y, Z from these professors or these reporters. I'm going to read A, B, C from these guys over here. What really looks like it's the middle ground for me? I think that's where I try to go. And I don't always succeed because we all have our own biasness anyway. But, you know, at least we've tried.
But sometimes things can be inconclusive. So that's when you've got to then form your own opinion.
Yeah.
And you maybe stick to that until evidence proves otherwise.
Correct. And I think that's why I like science so much, because science is always... Nothing in science is ever proved. It's always only as good as a theory until an experiment comes along to disprove it. And so that's how we move forward. We always have that open mind that says, okay, experiments so far seem to suggest that this theory is true or correct, I should say, rather than true. But we might do an experiment next year that actually says, well, think about this, it might not be.
In addition to the science as well, I mean, I've gone from an IT background where I used to work in a software company that dealt in analytics and predictive modelling and all that kind of good stuff. And the data never lies.
Yeah.
But if you put rubbish in,
you get rubbish out. You're going to get rubbish
out. But just rely on the data as well as the science. Yeah.
Look at the cold data.
Yes.
And not the opinions that are built on the data.
I think also as well, be sceptical yourself and be aware of any kind of information being given.
Yeah.
That's quite radical or ideological.
I think because again, it comes down to the source material. What is the source material for this? Look for real citations. Mm-hmm. So if someone's left a number of references or citations within a piece that's been put out, double check that they are actually real citations. I'll give you a prime example. There was a lot of life coaches for decades actually promoted the idea that in Harvard, there was a study done in the 50s where they took some students and the ones, the 5% that had written goals had something like, 95% more wealth and more happiness than the rest of the class that didn't have written goals. And that was cited for decades in all these papers about positive thinking and goal setting. It turned out no such study was ever done. It was an initial citation. It was an initial citation that wasn't actually a correct citation, and everyone just kept referring to the citated material. So it's so easy to pick up on stuff that you think is correct, but go and always check the original source material of any reference or citation that's given in any piece.
I think you also have to look at, as well, whoever's provided that information, is there a hidden agenda behind that?
Yeah.
What are they, an organisation or individual, hoping to get out of this?
Yes.
And then you've got to challenge that as well. So, okay, if we go down this route and I believe this conspiracy or I believe this information you're giving me, I'm going to go check that. Because if it's true, if it's not true, you're going to get something out of this.
Well, it's like the report from a professor saying that cigarettes didn't cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out that he was sponsored to write that report by the tobacco companies. I mean, no conflict of interest there whatsoever. So you have to always check these facts out, I think.
Correct.
So we've examined the evidence, we've looked at citations, we've gone to seek validation as well. The other idea is assess the tone, I think, of each piece. Is it fact-based or is it an opinion-based?
I think also around the opinions as well, you need to look at, be cautious, let's say, of the content that sensationalises things.
Yeah.
And see what emotion is in that message as well, because it can actually manipulate your thinking.
Yeah. Words just have, the pen is mightier than the sword. And if you've got an emotive set of words, it can be positive. Winston Churchill's speech about fighting them on beaches, for example. But equally, it can be negative and really incite people to become radical or violent even.
Correct. Yeah.
Because of the emotion behind the words.
And it ends up distorting reality as well, in my opinion.
Agreed. So you need to check for internal consistency because you may find that pieces are pulled together from different sources. So there might not be a common reasoning behind the piece. It's just a set of different insightful pieces of language that might not actually be consistent enough to be true. I think that's one way to look at it.
I think as an individual as well, when you're looking at conspiracy theories, and even if you've got some evidence, I think you've got to understand what the consequences could be to you as an individual before you accept him. And it could be that you isolate yourself.
Yeah.
It could be that you lose credibility because it's so far fetched that you're believing in. So you've got to understand, right, how is this going to impact me or my family, my friends, by actually going down this route.
Yeah, and mental health as well. Mental health can be so severely affected by because as we mentioned, it can increase the sense of anxiety, which then feeds into a paranoia. And if you're isolated or you feel you're being laughed at because you've got a belief, then you can then start to turn that into resentment.
You can, but I'm not saying that you shouldn't actually believe in. There's certain conspiracy theories that have a lot of hard-based facts, and if that's, you've found that, you said, actually, I've got evidence to believe this, then believe in that. And even if you do actually get, somebody's like saying, you're an idiot, whatever, then that's what you believe in, because you've seen enough evidence for you to make that decision.
But this is where I think it comes back to avoiding social media, because we can then have a proper discussion. We can have dialogue. I can sit here and try to explain to you why I believe this, and you can explain to me why you don't. But we don't discuss anymore. We argue. And I think, you know, not me and you, but, you know, everyone. The discussion and the art of dialogue and the art of argument as it used to be, in terms of an argument was, here's a set of reasons for this and here's a set of reasons for that, but it was done cordially, almost like, you know, collegiately, people with different opinions discussing it in a proper civilized way, that's the word I was looking for, then we've lost that. We don't have that anymore. It's knockabout, and politicians have got a lot to blame for this, because they themselves engage in this so much, this Punch and Judy approach to getting on the news and their sound bites out for social media, that we see that that's the norm, and we've lost that art of dialogue.
But I think that's what you get, though, when you start to believe in conspiracy theories without any kind of evidence, right? Which is why we keep saying validate these things, because you get entrenched, and then you're not open to these discussions.
Correct.
You know, you've just got your lines, that's where I am now, and I'm not going to listen to anything you've got to say.
Correct.
I also think as well, Darren, and I do this a lot, you know, we said at the very top of the actual podcast, is, you know, we're very inquisitive, right? I always ask why, and I think you should question absolutely everything.
Correct.
Until you've got either the right answers
or
somebody's giving you information to believe in that.
The approach that I often take is the seven whys. So the seven whys is, you start off with a very, so why do you believe that? Oh. Because of this, this and this. And then you say, yeah, but why do you believe that, this and this and this? And you go down and down and down until you get to the real nuts of what it is that they're really coming from. And if they can't actually get to that point, then you know that it's an opinion, not an argument that's based in fact.
You sound like my my grandson.
Sorry.
Why, granddaddy? You ask, why?
Well, kids...
You mentioned run out of answers.
Yeah, exactly. Kids are masters of it, aren't they? Because it's, why can't I have that ice cream?
Yeah.
And you get to that point where you go, okay, I'll let you have that.
I think you're also going to make sure that if you're looking at a conspiracy theory, ask yourself, how realistic is it?
Yeah.
Right. Now, 9/11, the Twin Towers, who knows, it may be true. I personally don't believe in it, okay? But I would think, is the US government really going to actually bomb them Twin Towers? Yeah. Are they really going to do it?
Yeah.
Now, whether there's other things, evidence to say that it may have been stopped or something else has happened in the past prior to that, but I just can't believe that as a reality.
Yeah, we're going to talk about 9/11, I think, in one of the future episodes, and some of the theories that came out of that. But I think you're right. I think the whole idea that a government could turn... And this is where the undermining and all the conspiracy theories have led us to, because we've now got to a point in Britain and in America where none of us of any political flavour trust any government of any political flavour. So we're already at that stage where we don't believe anything they tell us.
It's because of the trust. I mean... Who trusts a politician? That's unfair, because a lot of politicians do a lot of good stuff, certainly for the local communities.
Yeah.
But we have this inrooted mistrust for them because of what's gone on in the past.
Yeah, a few bad apples.
Yeah.
And it's spread to infect everyone.
I think another thing as well is what I do when I'm looking at conspiracy theories is I look at reason why. Is there a reasonable explanation why that actually occurred?
Yeah.
All right. So make, like the example... the moon landings. I know we're going to do a session on that anyway, but all this thing, all the flags fluttering in a still picture, right? But if you think about it, there's a logical reasoning for that, okay? That flag would have been unfolded, right, at that time. Therefore, there'd be ripples in the flag. Doesn't mean it was moving.
No.
It was static.
No.
You also got to think as well, when they were putting it into the ground,
okay,
they'd have been twisting it as well.
Yeah.
That would have moved it. I know they were in that picture, but when they move away because of the zero gravity,
okay,
it's stuck in that place. So... I can rationalise that reasoning. So that bit, I don't believe about the moon landings. Yeah. That one. There might be other ones that I've got no rationale behind. But I always look at that.
Yeah. And you also need to, again, question why are people saying that this is not true? Or why are people saying this is true?
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, okay, well, this particular person has a real problem with a government agency, therefore all government agencies.
Correct.
are telling
I could speak to somebody who believes the moon landings were staged, for example, and give them that example, and they wouldn't believe that.
No, because they're already entrenched in it.
Entrenched in it. That, I don't matter what you say to disprove my beliefs. I don't believe you.
And all this stemmed. Oh no, we'll save the facts for that.
That's gonna be a big topic.
It was. I was just about to go into how that initial hoax theory came alive.
But I was just using an example in terms of, you know.
Save it for the future episode. Yeah. So I think the real thing is we all need to learn literacy skills. So we all need to learn how to research properly. We all need to learn to ask critical questions. We all need to learn to come up with our own rational thinking in terms of, is there a more practical reason why this particular piece of evidence is quoted?
And people make a lot of assumptions.
Yes.
And again, I always, even at work, whatever, always challenge the assumption. Why are you assuming that's occurred?
Yeah.
Because you're not giving me any facts.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one that often comes through is, because we've always done it that way.
Mm.
And if a conspiracy theory like the moon landing is so entrenched now within common popular thinking, then it becomes harder and harder for someone to actually say, yeah, but, you know, there are reasons for that because it's already out there. It becomes really hard.
Agreed.
So I guess what we're saying is, people just need to stop, take a breath, and then ask a reasonable question about a theory that's just been put to them,
mm-hmm.
and then do the research.
Exactly. I think I've already mentioned this before. I'm not saying that conspiracies don't exist.
No.
I'm not saying there's things out there that, you know, a bit dodgy, a bit underhand, you know, that maybe need more investigation. But I think what we're both saying is, if we apply those strategies and thought processes to understanding where that conspiracy's come from, where's the evidence to support it, then we're more likely to find the truth.
I think you're right there. I think that's what we now, as a populace, we need to do more of, and we need to stop believing everything that social media fire at us, because we have to understand that the way that they are driving some of these posts is because they know they're going to get a lot of hits, mm-hmm. and therefore a lot of advertising revenue.
Correct.
And once you actually remember that this is how they make their money, then you have to have that grain of skepticism that says, I'm going to check that before I actually progress that any further.
Which you would do in any walk of life. So why would you just accept a conspiracy?
Yeah.
You know, you would check things out with anything else. Yeah. I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. You do a review on them. Buy a TV. Yeah. You'd look into the best TVs. Yeah. You know, it's a research thing.
Correct.
Do the same with the conspiracy theories.
Yeah, and the sad fact is as well is that quite a few of the news channels have got their own agenda.
Yeah.
And you have to remember that as well. But it all leads to this kind of societal undermining of the structures that form a society. So if you can't believe the media, you can't believe the government, you can't believe your health service, you can't believe the police, what does that leave?
Mm.
Somewhere, somehow, we have to start believing in things
again
that aren't about making someone right and someone wrong. We have to start believing in things that bring us together, because as a society, we have more in common with other members of our society than we have differences. But we seem to have forgotten that. And I think that's
good
where
point.
Conspiracy theories have really kind of driven a wedge in different communities. Right, so before we go to the end of this episode, then, just to let you know, we will be doing a number of follow-up episodes which talk about specific conspiracies. So we're going to do, for example, we've mentioned the moon landing and 9/11.
We've got interesting one to me. I started looking into this about 2 weeks ago. I'm not saying I believe in it, but I think it warrants a bit of discussion. Is about chemtrails.
Yeah.
You know, are things being put out there in the sky?
Mind controlling.
Well, we'll go into more detail. We do know that they've done that to control the weather in certain parts of the states, for instance, for crops and stuff like that. So it's out there, but it's how wide is it and what's it doing to us?
Yeah, and what is it all about? Yeah. So we've got that, we've got the Illuminati, we've got the moon landing,
COVID
injections with the chips.
Area 51.
My personal favourite.
Which I that's my personal view. I don't think there's aliens in Area 51. However, the subject's so fascinating.
It is.
And there is so much information out there that I think it does warrant a good discussion on it.
And there is a real conspiracy about Area 51, but it's not what people think.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about that in that episode. So we got lots that we're going to do. We originally were going to just do a two-parter. Oh, he's remembered something else.
We were going to look at Jack the Ripper.
And now then.
That's one of my topics.
Yeah, I think we'll do conspiracy theories, and then we'll do historical events that have got many interpretations. Jack the Ripper is one. JFK is another. So we've got loads of material to go at. I think we could even just doing a dozen episodes on different conspiracies
you'll be bored of us by the end of these sessions.
But it is a fascinating topic. So I think I hope you've enjoyed where we're coming from on this. We are going to be sceptical. We're not dismissing conspiracies. You know, we're not saying that because we can debunk this conspiracy, all conspiracy theories are wrong. Correct. We're not saying that at all. And we don't want to make out that people who believe a conspiracy theory are also wrong. We just want to point out that there may be a different way to look at it.
And for folks who have not actually believed in it either way, this is just about thinking about what strategies you can put in place, what you need to look at to say before you just blindly accept it must be true because Bob down at the pub told me.
Yeah. I saw it on a post on a social media group. Yeah, which is called Conspiracy Theories Arrows, but because it's in there, it's true. Yeah, so it's that kind of thinking, guys. So I hope we've enjoyed that. We will be back soon with our first set of conspiracies. Cannot wait for it. The search for truth. What was it? X-Files, the truth is out there. Oh, we need to have that tagline on the promotion for this episode, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So we'll see you all soon. As always, folks, there is a post in our forum, which it ties into this episode. So if you go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum, there'll be a post for this. Put in your comments about what you think about how we can go about debunking conspiracy theories, but also generally what you believe about them and what's your favourite conspiracy theory and what conspiracy theory would you like us to really look at going forward in different episodes. That would be really useful. So until then, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
See you all soon.
Bye now.
Would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.